Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
I can tell by the way you guys bob your heads, by the way, what kind of series we're going to have. And so when in a few months or in a month from now, when this series is over and we switch bumper videos, you're going to go, dang, where's that song at? Where's that song at? Hey, we're glad you're here today. And I'm really, really excited about what God is going to do in your lives. I love what Dinah said just a few moments ago. Like, hey, just when we come here, we got to lean in. We got to get ready for God to do what only he can do. And he can do a lot, by the way. He can do anything's possible with God, but we got to lean in, though. Like, I think sometimes we're missing things, not because he's not doing what he can do, but because we're not doing what we can do. And so you got to lean in a little bit. Sometimes you got to get on the edge of your seat, you know, lean with it, rock with it, lean with it, rock. You got to lean in. You got to make sure you, y'all were civilized today, huh? I got this civilized crowd. No one was with me on that one, Craig. I better just start preaching because you guys aren't really in today. Just have the band come back up again. Pastor Chris got us kicked off last week on our series called Names and did an incredible, incredible job. Pray for him. He's sick. And so pray for him that he feels better really, really soon. And just we're believing for healing for him. But last we looked at the name of Jehovah. And the next 3 weeks, we're going to add something on to that name. So this week is going to be Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is our banner. We're going to unpack that today and what that looks like and what it means. But I really, really hope that you'll be here for every week. Yeah, that was such a powerful message last week. And it was so eye-opening. I always tell Pastor Chris, I love it when you preach. I love it even better when I get to sit and listen and get to take notes. But man, he gave us kind of like a bird's eye view on the name of God last week. And basically what we've learned last week is that name is big. Like, there's a lot going on with the name and or the names of God. You know, for me, I'm John Wesley Beacham the second. My dad is the first. My son, Tripp, he's triple. He's short. He's the third. And so all of our names mean so much. But at some point, you exhaust what you know about me. You'll know that I'm a Florida Gator fan. You might know that I like to play sports. You may know that I like to golf. You may know that I'm sarcastic a lot. It usually gets me in trouble. If you know me really, really well, like my siblings know me, they know I got in trouble a lot. I got a lot of suspensions when I was a little kid. But come on, somebody. God saved me, and look how far I've come. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you know me, you'll exhaust what you know about me. But if you get to know God, you'll never exhaust all that there is to know about God. You'll be like in a wheelchair going, dang, I'm still learning about God. And that's what I love about our God. I'm glad that our God, we can't fit him in a box and go, cool, I figured them all out. I've got God all figured out. No one can ever say that. None of us can all say that. And every facet of God that you lean into, every single person in this room can have a different facet or a different characteristic of God or more about God's character. And we would never, ever exhaust fully knowing who God is. Which brings me to this thought. I hope that you get this series. All the characteristics of God are an opportunity for your character, for our character. I'm so thankful that because of the character of God, because the Bible says that you and I, we're made in his image. So everything that he is, he offers to you and I. Like, it's so cool. Like, because he's all powerful, you and I have power to go through what we're going through. The Bible says that the same power that rose Christ from the dead, it lives in you and lives in me. I'm so thankful today that the Bible tells us that last week Pastor Chris told us, like, God's an ever-present God. He's fully present. He's fully present in Israel, and he's fully present right here. And because he's present, I'm never lonely. You might feel alone, but you're never lonely. You may have a lot of anxiety and chaos that's going on in your life, but the Bible says that God, he's a calm water. And not only is he a calm water, get this, church, the Bible says that he's trying to pull us and he's trying to lead us into still waters. While your life is chaotic and your life looks more like the Atlantic Ocean, Jesus is trying to bring you into a calm lake. And he is the calmness the thing that you're looking for, it is Jesus, it is God. And so all the characteristics of God, you have an opportunity for your character to be different. I don't know about you, but the longer that I'm alive, I'm so thankful I'm not like I used to be. Anybody? Some of you guys are like, yeah, I'm glad you're not like you used to be. Some of you have Some of you guys have known me for 8 years. Like, the dude's come a long way. We're so glad God's still changing him. I'm so thankful that God is still a miracle working God. I'm so glad that he's the same God that read in the Bible, that he's still the same God today. All that God is an opportunity for you and I to be different. And if you're looking, and I hope you can look at your life and go, wow, I've had multiple conversations this week. And it always goes like this. God is trying to make you more like his image. That's every, so many conversations this week. God's trying to make, you were made in his image. If you're uncomfortable, it's because he's trying to make you into his image. Some of you guys, you like this church because it makes you uncomfortable. Because you know that the other side of your being uncomfortable, you're going to be more like Jesus. And you want that. You want to be more like God. There's a draw inside of you that wants you to be like God because God wants you to, he made you in his image. So that pull that you feel, that's a pull coming from God. So let's get into this week's Jehovah Nisi. The Bible in Exodus chapter 17, there's two chunks of scripture. By the way, when the Bible was written, there was not chapters and verses, by the way. I just feel like that was something for you to know. That's your Bible literacy training for today. There was no chapter and verses. It was just tablets and stones. Could you imagine if I said, hey, open up to Exodus 17 or open up to that story about, open up to Moses. Open up to, we're talking about Moses today. You'd go, I have no idea. If I just gave you this Bible that I've got here today has 1,000, it's got 1,004 pages. There's more pages when you have large print. Just, it's where I'm at. It's just where I'm at. But if I say, hey, open up to the story of Moses, you'd go, dude, we're in trouble. Like, some of you would feel like, you'd feel like an outcast. You leave. Some of you guys would go to, you'd go to the very beginning and you'd be like, okay, I think I can get there. I think I'm gonna find it. But all these subtitles, these subheadings, all that is so we could kind of, in the modern translation, so we could find out where to find it at. So in Exodus chapter 17, Exodus, the word Exodus is the group of people that were exiting out of bondage. They were, it was the Exodus, or it was the leaving of bondage. We have this group of people, they're leaving. Moses is the leader, one of the fathers of our faith. If you get to the New Testament, you get to Hebrews chapter 11. There's a heading in Hebrews chapter 11 that says the Hall of Faith. It's all these Christians that were like giant Jesus followers. And I used to always say about the book of Hebrews 11, I hope that if God ever writes Hebrews again, or if he puts out another rendition of the Bible, I hope that the people that I roll with are in that book. Like that dude was a, dude, he was a killer for the kingdom of God. Like that dude, that girl, she was a serious follower of Jesus and she made a difference in her community and she made a difference around the world. Like I want that to be said about me. And so the only way that's gonna be said about me is if we read these stories and look at the name of God in these stories and go, man, I wanna apply that to my life. So without application, there's no reason to come if we don't apply this passage of scripture to our life. And so hopefully at the very end of this, we can apply it to our life today. So we have these people, the children of God, they're just out of slavery. They're malnourished. They've got scars, bruises, all kinds of atrocities happened to these people. They were treated terrible. They're exiting. They've got Moses, this leader. He takes them, these Egyptians are fallen. He takes them across the Red Sea. God kills all of them. It's awesome. You know, it's kind of a weird way to end the message, but they get to the other side. Now they're in this city and they're thirsty. They're we're running for our life and now we're thirsty. Come on, anybody, like, can it just keep, like, they're going, can this get any worse? Have you ever had that part of your life where some of y'all have, you're like, yeah. You're like, can it get worse? And like, it actually gets worse. That's the children of Israel. Now you think, well, they're out of it. They made it. But this Bible records, they get to Exodus 17, they get to this city called Rephidim, and now there's no water. Moses takes out his staff, he hits the ground, and water comes out. So now they've run from these people, they're thirsty, but now they have water. They've complained, they've looked for food, God's provided them food. I mean, these guys, like, it keeps on getting worse, it keeps on getting worse, and now they find themselves right out of getting water, they're still in Rephidim, and these bad people show up called the Amalekites. Verse 8 says this, while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Now these dudes were bad. The Amalekites were bad. You know what their deal was? They just killed people for two reasons. For like sport and to plunder. Like they literally just kill people for fun. And then, or they, if they needed food, they would just kill these people and take their food. If they needed money, they would kill these people and they would take their money. If they, women, whatever they wanted, they would kill and they would take it. They came to kill and to steal. That's all they did. They killed and they stealed. That's all that they did. So verse 9 says, but Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill and I will hold the staff of God in my hand. Now they're leaned in a little bit. Joshua's like, okay, you want me to go get some guys that are malnourished, they're hungry, they've got scars, maybe some wounds haven't even healed up yet. We can relate with that. They're thirsty. We just gave them water. And now you want me to go train them overnight to go fight people. They're not fighters. This is a recipe for disaster. I know if you're Joshua, Joshua's going, dude, you're on your own. Like Moses, you say it, Moses, but I do not believe it. This is not, Moses, you got to have a better plan than this. And Moses is like, oh no, I'm not done yet. You get these people and you pick these men and I'm going to go stand at the top of the hill and I'm going to hold my staff in my hand. Now, if I'm Joshua, I'm going, how about you get the people, you go fight, I'll stand on the mountaintop. Like, you go die, I don't want to die. Like, how did Joshua pick these guys? How did he pick them? Did he go, hey, you pray a lot, you come with me. Your body looks able, you come with me. I don't know how he picks them. We get one verse, and next thing you know, it's battle time. The very next verse says in verse 10, so Joshua did exactly what Moses commanded, and he fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses and Aaron and Hur, they climbed to the top of the nearby hill. And as long as Moses held up the staff in his hands, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hands, the Amalekites, they gained the advantage. I mean, as long as his hands are up and he has his staff in the air, they are slaying it. Way before slaying was cool. I mean, they were killing these guys. And all he was doing was, they were standing up there like they were just slaughtering people. But if Moses' arms got tired, the Bible records, if he began to drop hands, then the guys would be getting wounded and they would be losing ground. And so these guys are noticing this. Moses has his entourage with them, Aaron and Hur. And the Bible says in verse 11, whenever he dropped his hands, the Amalekites, they gained the advantage. Verse 12, Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. Have you ever got to see, you feel like you were so tired? We're like, dang, I'm just tired. And I just want to let you know and encourage you today. Some of you guys, that's how you came in today. That's not God's plan for your life. But it's like, man, Pastor Wes, I've already, you know that really, I don't know what the proper way to say it, but the really dumb saying, God gives his strongest battles to his strongest armies or his toughest battles. Like, that's trash, by the way. Hit control alt delete on that thing. Like, that is whatever the worst way of saying trash I can say in church, that's what it is. That's not God. That's you're because my Bible tells me that God's come to give us an abundant life, a full life, a life that's overflowing. But the reality is that we go through seasons where we're like, we're tired. You're like, Pastor West, my kids, I'm tired. Pastor West, my finances, I'm tired. Pastor West, my marriage, I'm tired. Pastor West, my mom, I'm tired. Pastor West, my dad, I'm tired. Come on, so aren't you so thankful you don't live, anybody here thankful you don't live at home anymore? That's funny, right, Dad? My dad's like, I'm thankful you don't live here either. Your hands get tired. When you spank as many bottoms as I've been spanked by my dad, your hand get tired. You know what I'm saying? My dad's like, I'm tired of spanking you. You know, like, I'm glad you're gone. Man, we go through life. I mean, life is hard. I've had 10 conversations this week. People are going, Pastor, it's tiring. It's hard. So we see this pastor scripture. These guys are like, dude, we're trying our best. Like, we're like just grinding it. Like, we're hungry and we're grinding it. And the relationships are struggling. Like, every problem that we got, by the way, we see in this passage of scripture. These guys they're tired. So Aaron and Hur, so Moses' arms, he soon began so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur, they found a stone for Moses to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands, so his hands held steady until sunset. I mean, I'm just so thankful. This story, it's going to end well. But I'm so thankful that Moses had the right people around him. And you need the right people around you. And here's what I found in my life. A lot of people, after they're tired, then they go try to find the right people. And it is too, it's too late to find the right people when you desperately need the right people. Does that make sense? Like, you want to have the right people in your corner before all heck breaks loose. You want to have the, because when all heck breaks loose, it's too late. You're like, dang, when you're going, man, I wish I had somebody. You should have had somebody, because one day, I promise you, you're going to say, I need somebody. I need a squad. You're going to say that. So the Bible says in verse 12 that these guys, they're fighting. Moses' arm gets tired. Verse 12, Moses' arm soon began so tired that he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur, they found a stone for him to sit on. This, it gets better. This is so beautiful. Look at this picture of community. Then they stood on each other's, they stood on each side of Moses, and they held up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in the battle. Verse 14, this is encouragement for someone. Your victory's coming. Well, Pastor West, I've been in church 20 years of my life. I am tired of hearing preachers say that the victory is coming. Well, you might want to start believing that the victory is coming. And maybe there's a reason why it hasn't came. And the common denominator of that might be you. If you don't believe it's coming, guess what? It's not coming. I told our team this week, I was in the car with them, went down Southwest Florida, and I was telling them, I have this, I don't know if it's a good or bad quality about me, but I always can find the good in everything. Some people hate being around people like me. Like, that's why you have no friends, you know, like. Or some people, they love being around me. I'll tell you this much, if I know you guys hear a lot of golf illustrations. If you're not good at golf, you want to golf with me. Because I'll make you feel like you're the best golfer in the world. I have that ability. You're like, Pastor West, the ball's in the water. But I'm like, but if there wasn't water there, it'd be on grass. Like, I could find I can spin anything. You want to play with me. Like, you'll walk out telling your friends, I am a really, really good golfer. You won't be good, but you're going to go, dude, this guy, Pastor West, I missed that putt by 3 foot. I'd be like, well, the last hole, you missed it by 5.5 feet. So you're getting a lot better. Like, I can find it for you. The Bible says that these guys, they're tired, they're weary, they're losing the battle if his arms goes down. But the Bible says that his hands go up, and there's Aaron and Hur, and they're holding his arms up. Verse 14, that after the victory, I just want to encourage you, the victory is coming. Believe for it today. Believe for the miracle. I don't know about you today, but if I were to ask you a question today, go around the room, hey, are you believing for a miracle? Are you believing for a miracle? Are you believing for a miracle? I could go around the whole room, and I promise you, there are people in here today that need a miracle, but they wouldn't raise their hand because they don't believe that God can do it. I'm believing for a miracle. Right now, I'm in a season of my life where I'm praying and I'm believing for a miracle. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to be around other people who are praying and believing for miracles. Some people are going to go, dude, we're going to run with this guy. He's like, if he believes in miracles, I want to believe in miracles. And so the Bible says the victory is coming. The Lord instructs us, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder. Come on, how many of you know if Jesus tells you to take notes, you better take a note? He's like, take notes, guys. The Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder. Not just a casual reminder, but a permanent reminder, and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. I'm going to kill all these guys. And not just like right now, but the Bible says Moses built an altar there, and he named it Yahweh Nisi, which means the Lord is my banner. He's like, he fought for us that day. And the name he gives us is that he's a banner. Like he's with us. And we know about banners in our culture because everyone's flying some sort of flag now. Everyone's flying a flag. Everyone's flying a flag in here. Everyone. You're flying a flag of some sort. You stand for something. Everyone here, you stand for something. If you roll me, you're like, dude, the dude, he's for Jesus. The dude's always preaching Jesus. Like, no matter what, my kid's got a bad grade. I'm like, you're more than a conqueror. Like, I'm gonna fly the banner. Some of you guys might be like, your thing might be politics. You're like, your hope is in the political system. That's worked for our country since the beginning. That's what I'm going for. Like, isn't it funny what we fly? Usually, it's weird. We have some banners for some stuff that, like, there's proof that it hasn't worked in the past, but yet we'll still fly it. So the Bible says we fly this banner, this banner is like, hey, like Jehovah Nissi, like the Lord's our banner. Like we're gonna hold up the name of Jesus because we know that's faithful. We know that's proven time after time. The slogan, the proof is in the pudding. Like we know that works. Holding up the banner of God, that works. It's worked all throughout history. The Bible tells you and I that the gates of hell won't prevail against the followers of Jesus. If you fly the banner of God, like the Bible says that they're gonna remember this. And then verse 16, for all the warriors in the room, the Bible says, he said, they have raised their fist against the Lord's throne, so now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation. I don't know about you, but I wanna be on the Lord's side. In this passage of scripture, I'm not gonna preach today, but we see obedience in this passage of scripture. We see obedience to God's word and to God. We see obedience and we see the outcome. I'm just gonna encourage you today, wherever you see in scripture, if you flip through this book, hang out in the Old Testament for a while, every place in scripture where you see sin and you see disobedience, you see God drop the hammer because he came to change our lives. He came to change cities. And sinning's not gonna change anything because the author of sin is the enemy. So we see obedience time and time and time again in this passage of scripture. And the men and women that we see in the Bible that have victories, we see before their victory, we see that they were obedient to God's word. If you are struggling with being obedient to God's word, I wanna encourage you today that you gotta flip over a new page today. If you're going against God's word, that's not even Wes telling you that. That's the Bible. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not an Amalekite. Those dudes are gone. That generation ended. There's no descendants. This is my Bible to me, there's no descendants of Amalek anymore. Because eventually God killed them off. Generation, until they were dead, he killed them off. All they did is kill and steal. TP and JP, can you guys bring one chair and come help me real quick? I didn't ask these guys for permission. Yeah, yo, come on. Y'all, give it a hand up for these guys. I love these young men. Come on, just one chair. Come on up here, all up here. Can you imagine, y'all, Moses? You gotta come too. Yeah, you're JP, he's TP. There's the chair, come on. Come on up here, come up on stage. Both stand on each side of me, one on each side, Aaron and her. Can you imagine, y'all? Think about this. Moses is like, I got that. This is where CrossFit came from, by the way, just so you know. Moses was like, I got all the form in the world, but I don't put it to practice. Come on, somebody. Moses grabbed that joker. He was like, whoosh. Is that okay, Jonathan? Are you okay with that? Dang it. I felt good about it. Okay, anyways. Moses is just like, yo, we're winning. I'm getting tired. And then they're losing. They're like, get your hands up, Moses. But then Aaron and Hur roll up. They get him a chair. Help me out, guys. And they help him. Don't tell the first service, but you guys are doing better than they did. By the way, these guys are twins. Yeah, I wouldn't lie in church. Like, I'm good to go. I feel good. This guy on my right, your left, he's a defensive lineman for the West Orange High School. He's got me. This guy on the left, he's a linebacker. He just hits people for fun. Ball's not even on the side. I went and watched him last week. Ball's not even on the side of his foot. He's just hitting people. I'm like, dude, what's wrong with you? Today, we're believing for his salvation today. No, I'm kidding. Dude, can you imagine? You guys got me? All right. No, seriously, like, yeah. I felt like I was holding them up for a second. But dude, can you imagine they're like, we gotta move quick. I love these guys next to me. I love Moses, I love Aaron and her because they give us this example. Like, dude, as long as we're together, here's point number one today. We cannot fight alone. We cannot fight alone. If Joshua was out there, and he was doing his thing, and Moses wasn't holding up the staff, Moses was losing. Everybody was losing. If Moses was at home holding the staff up, but Joshua wasn't out fighting, then they'd be losing. It takes both. They needed both. We cannot fight alone. Moses wants you and I to know today that we cannot fight alone. You can't fight alone. I don't know what you're going through today, but you cannot fight alone. I pulled in a Wawa last night, and this lady was on the speakerphone with her friend while we were checking out, and she was telling the lady on the line, I'm just tired. I want to let you know, if you're tired today, you need some people around you. You cannot fight alone. You can't do it. I know you're probably thinking, how long can these guys hold your arm? Well, they got two arms. I'm confident that these guys got me. This guy benched 300-plus pounds the other day. This guy, I don't know what he benches, but probably can't bench 300 pounds, you know what I'm saying? We're good. I would venture to say that if we got in a fight right now, minus those of you guys that have concealed weapons permit, I'd get in a fight with these guys. These guys got my back. We cannot fight alone. Come on, let's give these guys a hand today. Thank you, guys. You're good. Oh, yeah, take your chair. Yeah, you're not going to have a place to sit. We can't fight alone. Now, if the message ends there, that's what we call self-help, if it ends there. We cannot fight alone. But here's the second part, is we cannot fight without God either. We cannot fight without God. We need God in our lives. You need God's help. I've seen some of y'all. When people call me like Pastor West, I always ask them, this is what everybody, I'm like, who are you in the foxhole with? Like, who's gonna get in the, if everything falls apart, who's gonna get in the foxhole with you? Ain't got nobody. There's a story of a guy in a book called Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willick. And there's one of our, a Navy SEAL. I forget his name, but it was in Amadi or Iraq. It's an incredible book, Extreme Ownership. You ought to read it. But someone got close to them. They were in a fire, and they threw a grenade over, and it was four or five of his guys. And this young man with his bulletproof vest, he just jumped on top of the bomb. You know what he said? He didn't say anything. But you know what the guys around him said? If he doesn't jump on it, five of us die. But that guy said, if I jump on it, just one of us die. I don't know about you today, but I want to have the right people around me before I desperately need them. But you need God. You need God. Because probably at 2 a.m., when your mind starts going 1,000 miles an hour, ladies in the room in here today, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I'm speaking to y'all. And you can't call nobody. You need God. You need God. We get messages all night, all throughout the night. I got a text message last night, 2 a.m. It wasn't bad, thank God. It was like, I went to the Gator game, and I was like, hey, text the guy when I got back, 10. Someone from our church, I'm like, hey, did you guys make it back safely? Because I care about the people who go to our church. I'm like, hey, did you guys make it back safely? And at 2 a.m., he texted back, yeah, we made it back safely. I'm like, you stayed a little bit too long. But anyways, what'd you do after the game? I'm kidding. Like you need God in the middle of the night. And you need God like on like Monday at 2 p.m. also. You need God in your life. You cannot go through life without God. So don't get it twisted. Don't be like, oh, I got community. But if God's not there, then all you got is some people. Because at the center of community is Christ. You need Christ in your life. You cannot fight without God. This story illustrates that perfectly. Because they're out there. One guy's, Moses is the picture of God, needing God and community. But Joshua is the example out there actually fighting. You have to put the work in. You have to fight, you have to put the work in. If you're battling depression in the room in here today, which people are in the room, sitting inside in isolation, that's not gonna help you. We all are, like, that's common sense. Like there's something about being in the sun. That's just reality. That's science. Like being outside helps. Also what helps, your diet may help. Going outside and changing your diet Those are things that you can control. You have to do what you can do while God does what he has to do. We have a lady in our first service experience. She's stage 4 cancer. She's got to pray. Emotions, all the things. She needs prayer. Supernatural. But she also, James says, you take medicine and you also pray. You need both. And I want to encourage someone in the room today. I know this is I'm on a very, very thin line right now, because there are some things that you guys have been praying for and you've been battling for a long time. And it's tricky up here, because I know that. This conversation has multiple layers. It probably works best in a coffee shop, just me and you sitting across from each other. So I get that. But I just want to encourage you today. Like, I know there's a lot of you, like, you might, Pastor Wes, I put in so much work, Pastor Wes. I just want to encourage you to keep on going. The victory's coming. And I also want to encourage you, if the victory doesn't happen on earth, if you're a son or daughter, the victory may have to happen when we're in heaven. Which means that all this is not pointless. Because when we die, we go to heaven. So we're not living, Diane and I are not living for Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We're living for eternity. I got no doubt, you know, my sister-in-law passed just about a month and a half ago. I got no doubt I'm gonna see her again. I drove by Plant City yesterday, and I was just, where she's from, we're at her exit. And I was just thinking about her, going, dang, I missed her. But I was like, I'm literally driving with my team. We're driving up from Southwest Florida. We came from the next level. And I was just thinking, it's so cool, I'm gonna see her again. No doubt. Some of you guys have lost people. You're gonna see them again if they're followers of Jesus. You cannot fight without God. And then here's the last thing. And the band can come up. We're gonna sing just a little part of the song. Some battles can only be won in the supernatural. Like, some things can't be fought like in the flesh. It needs to be supernatural. So, I didn't read this in the first verse. Let me read to you guys Psalm 63:4. The Bible says in Psalm 63:4, I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in worship or prayer. Isn't that cool? That's a cool song. All right, now go back to the point. Let me go back to the point, because I want to land on this part. Some battles can only be won in the supernatural. So here's the deal. Last night, late at night, multiple nights this week, Diana goes, what are you doing on your phone late at night? I go, I'm trying to figure out why this passage is in the Bible. I'm reading commentaries. I'm like working so hard. I'm in the car with Pastor Chris, who's a doctor in theology. I'm like, Pastor Chris, I cannot find why this is in the Bible. Why is this in the Bible? And I was hoping he'd give me a good answer. And he's like, just keep praying. You know, Pastor tells you to keep praying. I hate that. He did that to me. I was thinking, come on, God, like, show me what is. I don't know if it came Thursday or Friday or if it came last night. I cannot remember. But I was thinking to myself that posture of Moses in the chair and his hands raised, God was like, it looks a lot like this. And I was like, are you kidding me, God? This isn't like a cool battle story, like where they just destroyed them because they were strong. Way back then, God was teaching you and I that some of the battles you're going through, you need supernatural help. And this is what supernatural help looks like. Singing a song, not to God, is just natural. But when you're singing to God, the natural becomes supernatural. And we don't talk a lot about that here. This is a divine moment. This is a moment that God said, hey, I don't pick the series. God sends them to me. And I'm like, cool, I'm down with that. But I'm like, that's like Moses and Aaron, they were on a rock. And God gave you in that today. So I just want to encourage someone in the room today. I don't know what you're going through. But I know that whatever you're going through, it probably is not going to happen in the natural. You're going to need the supernatural. Because what I have found in my life, that the toughest stuff, I can't figure out. I can't figure out. saw my cousin yesterday. I can't tell you why hearts don't work in babies when they're born. But I know when I went to that little baby's funeral, he was 6 months old. I can't figure that out. I can't figure out why things I prayed for a whole year, they didn't go the way I wanted them to go. I can't figure it out. I can't tell you why 33-year-old people die early. I can't tell you any of those things. I can't tell you why our missionaries at Harbor of Hope that we support, I can't tell you why Eager is from, I don't know where he's from. He's Russia. I can't tell you why his sister, same age as him, got in a tragic car accident and she's gone and that little girl has no mom. I can't make sense of it, church. And I'm tired of the churches that try to make sense of it. I can't, but I just, hey God, I can't. I can't figure it out. I can't tell you why some of the greatest soul winners I know in this church are having a tough time right now in the natural. I can't tell you why. I wish I could. I can't tell you why all those people that Marty serves on Saturday night, why they can't freaking break their addiction. I can't tell you why. I'm just like, all right, I don't know, God, but you do. When people ask me why it's not working, I just go, I don't know why, but I know who does know why. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet right now, just all across the way. I wonder right now if there's anyone in the room, heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if there's anyone in the room right now who would just throw their hands up and go, Pastor Wes, I'm in a battle right now. You just throw your hands up really quick. Just two hands up. Just hold them up. Just hold them up really high. Cool. Lord, right now, we believe right now that we're going to fight our battles differently. Lord, I pray for every single hand that's raised in the room right now. I know right now they feel like they are alone and they're by themselves, but I want to encourage them right now, God, that they are surrounded by a bunch of people. They're surrounded by other believers that are fighting for them and that are cheering for them. Lord, I pray that right now, they may not see the victory, but I pray you'd give them supernatural victory right now for them to see the victory. God, I know right now it seems bleak and things feel hopeless, God, but I pray right now that they, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would go in through their hands and you would land in their hearts and they would begin to fight again through the supernatural. Lord, but I pray that you'd encourage them if they're fighting in the natural. I pray that they would know right now that they're right there with them, because your Bible tells us that you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. God, we're fighting today in the supernatural. Lord, we're giving you our battles, God. We fight our battles this way, God. We fight our battles this way, God. We fight our battles this way, God. Lord, help us, Lord, to fight our battles. And tomorrow, when it seems like it's easy to put our hands down, I pray that we would throw them up again and you could get some people around so we could continue to fight the battles, Lord.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.